We're going to deviate from normal procedure for a few minutes with the council's indulgence, and that is we've got a couple of community leaders, maybe more than a couple, who came this morning to just give us some feedback on our some of our current budget decisions. So I just, before we start the council meeting, want to afford them that opportunity. Not sure who in particular is planning on speaking. We have a couple of our pastors here. So don't be shy. I know you're not. Please come forward and tell us what's on your mind, and we appreciate you being here this morning. Good morning. Welcome.
Yes. Good morning. To our distinguished and honorable Mayor Charlie Hales and illustrious members of the City Council, I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Jr., President of the Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, the State Council of Churches, and Chairperson of the Abana Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. I come before you today concerning the budget cuts for our Youth Summer Work Program. We fully understand that there has to be some hard decisions made on making up the deficit in the city budget. But there's not only an economic decision here, but also a moral decision when the budget deficit is made up on the most, one of the most vulnerable and powerless population, our low-income working-class youth, who are already experiencing the highest unemployment in our city and nation. And in the midst of the challenges of our city, facing gang violence, crime, hunger, dropouts, educational crisis, I believe, and many others believe in our community, that we do not need to pull the floor out from one of the most vulnerable populations in our city. So I ask you today to not only think in economic terms, but also think of the moral implication of your decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Pastor Haynes? Thank you so much for being here. I know we have some other folks that want to testify, but thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Whoa. The chair thing.
Good morning, Pastor Hart.
Mayor Charlie Hill, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you for suspending normal operating procedures and allowing us to speak. I'd like to defer first to Ms. Williams, who's a retired school teacher, then next to Ms. Elisa, then myself.
Yeah, I think the house has already been addressed. I am Leslie Williams, a retired Portland public school teacher of 17 years. And I am also here on behalf of the budget cut and for our youth. In particularly, I taught at Harriet Tubman Middle School, which a lot of students there were from distressed areas, which the school has been now closed. There were lots of students in there that were mostly supporters of their family. They were the ones to provide for the family. A lot of them were the breadwinners for the family in those particular cases. So I am a strong advocate and supporter of youth in general. I live in the Lake Oswego area, which there's a different kind of disparities there, but I am asking that you please, please support those students that I know that came from families that really needed that support in those particular families, and they still need it because I still work with youth because that's my passion. So on behalf of those youth, I'm asking you to please reconsider any kind of budget cuts to offer them some employment for the summer and you and for the regular school year because there are other things that they need.
Thank you.
Mayor Hales, fellow commissioners, my name is Elisa. My last name I wish to keep private for personal reasons. First off, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the Youth Summer Connect program. I'm an A student at Meek High School with good work ethics, yet due to the depressed economy, I have had a difficult time getting a summer job. For Youth Summer Connect, it made it possible for me to have a place to work, which was a lifesaver for my family because one of my parents suffers from a really bad gambling addiction, which our income has suffered greatly. And we had to move several times, too many I care to count. But Youth Summer Connect allowed me to have a distraction from the pain, and I also contributed to my household income, which kept a roof over my head, my four sisters, and my baby brother. So I asked Mayor Hales, for the sake of me and other youth like me, I ask you to reconsider your decision to taking funds from a critically needed youth program. Your choice to fund a trolley, I believe, what good is a trolley if I can't afford to ride it? Again, Mayor Hales, I thank you and fellow commissioners for allowing me to speak on behalf of myself, my family, and others like me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
My name is Wardell Gibson.
Oh, there's a little button there. Turn it on. There you go.
Works better, huh? My name is Wardell Gibson. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to the Your Honorable Mayor and Commissioners. Back in 1967, I was 17 years young and had the honor of being awarded the Boy of the Year for the Boys Clubs of America. Now you know them as Boys and Girls Clubs. I was in this chamber where at the time Mayor Terry Schrunk was the one that awarded that. What I'm here to say today is to remind you of what you already know, and that is when I was young, I was awarded Boy of the Year because I was working. I was a school elected president of my class, all these kinds of things, but I had jobs. And when I had jobs, it gave me self-esteem to be able to accomplish whatever I wanted to do in life. I went on to the University of Oregon, Pacific University. I've been twice national sales champion of two national companies. I want to remind you that when a child has a job, there's nothing better than to work and cash your own check. That gives you self-esteem, that you can go on and do other things. The other problem that we have is this city's police force has been under investigation by the federal government. We all know what that's been about. And now we have children that need jobs. I've never heard of a child in a drive-by shooting on their way to work. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Thank you all very much for being here this morning. Oh, sorry, Pastor Hardy. You were being so deferential to everybody else. We were about to sweep you away for being so nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a trait of a true servant. I, too, want to, the House has been addressed, but I really sincerely honored this opportunity to address each of you. I worked for the light rail system in 1986. I came and helped establish and lay the groundwork for the East Side, West Side, and Airport Max. I left that type of work because I saw a disparity. Things that I saw was disenfranchised communities were not able to take advantage of the apprenticeship programs that we had there. I, having a dual major, came back into theology and got into community work, and I now pastor Highland United Church of Christ. I'm on the ground. I'm in the grassroots. I see the things that take place. I understand the distressed community, the economics, and I understand the tough decisions you have to make, Mayor Hill. I'd hate to be in your shoes. In fairness, to cut the budget for everyone, it's almost like saying we're going to take 10% of the oxygen from everyone. That would work if we were all healthy, but some communities are in the intensive care ward, and to take 10% of their air would be cutting their life support. As this young girl just spoke, taking 10% would literally cause her family to move. When we talk about the 300 or 400 volunteers through the 1145 program where they're out on the streets talking to these misdirected youth that are idle and delinquents and just loitering, their number one response when they talk to the youth is, we don't have jobs, we don't have things to do. And these parks that we heard talked about last week, when we're investing as taxpayers $500,000 to fix these parks in East 205, where a lot of these kids have moved to, if they don't have a job, they're going to be in that park. And those ladies that were talking about swinging, they're not going to want to swing when you have kids there loitering and looking threatening. One shooting, one stabbing, and we will apply more overtime funds to the police department to respond than we would the $300,000. My request, Mayor Hill, in all fairness, cutting across the budget, I understand, if you would consider this year ensuring that it just stays in the budget, that would give the community time to mobilize to try and find private funds for 2014 to come up with a strategy to respond to this. We want to partner with the city and make this happen. And we respect all the decisions you make, so we're humbly making this request to you, Mayor Hale and commissioners.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, please. Come on.
Okay. My name is Shauna Williams, and I'm a member of Highland as well. I'm also on the board of REAP, Reaching and Empowering All People. I have also been the senior corporate recruiter at U.S. Bank for 8 years, and now I am the diversity recruiter at Kaiser Permanente. So taking it down the road a few years, what I see in people applying for work is that it's very, very difficult to employ someone who doesn't have work history. Even those who have an education, if they have no work history, it's very hard, very difficult to employ them. So from my perspective as a recruiter and looking at the future of our youth, regardless of color, it's so important that they have work experience. It teaches them responsibilities. It teaches them how to show up on time, to be accountable, and to gain that experience that you can't gain when you're on the streets. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time and perspective on this. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Let me respond and call on anyone else that is interested in doing so. I really appreciate this passionate and persuasive and principled advocacy for the kids in our community. We have, as a council, as you've pointed out, some really tough conditions right now in terms of how we spend money this year and how we budget money for next year. Frankly, for me, what you've done in this discussion is highlight, you know, how critical it is that we try to keep all these summer jobs available. The question that still, I think, needs some work on this dais is exactly where those funds come from for now and where they realistically can come from in the future. We're going to have to call on our partners, the churches, the nonprofit community generally, the other public sector organizations, the county, for example, but not just the county, and the private sector to do more in this community for kids this year and as we come out of this very difficult recession that all of us are still feeling, that the kids are feeling, that a lot of families are feeling, and that we're feeling because of the size of the deficit in the city's budget. Fortunately for all of us, that's a short-term, our economists tell us, that's a short-term phenomenon. This is going to be a bad year, and then as the economy is now recovering, so will the city's fortunes, and we will have more to do more for more people in our community over the next few years. So this council, before I got here and before Commissioner Novick got here, was presiding over a series of very tough budgets in which cuts were made. We're going to have to do that again this year and, in fact, even more deeply. But our forecast is for sunnier skies ahead. Question is, what do we do in the short term? How do we get through this with the least harm to the most vulnerable? And you've certainly highlighted that issue for me. And so give us some time to consider and to look for options, but understand that you've been hurt.
Mayor,
please.
I want to thank my friends from the faith community for joining us today. And I'm reminded that we don't often spend enough time celebrating the existing partnerships between government and faith, because as Will Hardy demonstrated with his sense of humor when he spoke last, when you're a servant leader, you're not drawing attention to yourself or your work. And the faith community is always the last to seek credit for the work they're doing, whether it's feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless. Even last year through Ecumenical Ministries, working with us to pilot a program to allow families just to sleep in their cars in a church parking lot, which, as you know, produced a furious negative reaction in some of our communities. But I want to just make a personal commitment. The mayor has said that through the budget we need to look at this, and I think what I'm hearing him say is he wants to look at this holistically. And, you know, this is one program of many that impact kids. And during the budget time, we're going to have a conversation about priorities. And if you saw what was filed on Monday, you know that Sun Schools are slated for a cut. Is that where we should cut, and what are the alternatives? You're going to know that Parks, I believe, is the largest employer of young people in the city of Portland in the summertime. Is the Parks Bureau doing enough to make sure that kids that need a first opportunity, particularly in East Portland and communities of color, that they're being given a fair shot at those entry-level jobs, which we hope someday lead to permanent jobs? So I think one of the things that this suggests to me, Mayor, is that as you've challenged us during the budget time to think holistically, I think there's really a chance to ask a fundamental question throughout the budget, which is, what are the programs that we and the county together fund that impact kids positively? And I would bring CHIF into it, even though Children's Investment Fund is a separate entity and largely funds county programs. I think a theme that you have suggested for us is, how are we serving children in this budget process? And I think almost we're shining too bright a light on one program, and what you're suggesting is step back and look holistically at all the programs. If we don't have adequate funds for one program, there may be a way to pick up opportunities for some kids through another one. So let's look across all of our bureaus at what we're doing, and let's use this budget to ask a fundamental question of how are we serving children. And I think that's been the mayor's challenge to us, is to go very deep and not to let a crisis, which a $25 million hole is a crisis, not to squander a crisis. And so one way we honor this is we look closely at this question, and I think all of us are prepared to take up that challenge.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Please.
And that's going to be a very important discussion, and I appreciate Dr. Hardy's comment that we need to look for more partnerships for the coming fiscal year. We did have a very difficult budget year last year, and Commissioners Fish and Saltzman and I voted for a special appropriation for this program in this budget year. So we don't have a $395,000 gap in this year's budget. It's in there. And if it does turn out that when we do the budget adjustments and other looking at this year's budget, if it turns out that we have a shortfall, then we need to look across all the programs and see how we can fund this year's budget. But this is a program that has been proven to be successful. It helps with graduation rates. It helps with our equity goals. And I made a promise that we were going to fund it. So I feel very passionately that we need to fund it this year. And then, of course, have that difficult conversation about how are we going to keep the program going next year. I think it's very helpful that you've highlighted this as an issue, that there's a number of good programs that we may not be able to provide as much or any city support for next year. So that's good to have that conversation started. But I hope that we can find a way to move forward with the contracts this year.
Steve, Dan?
Well, I feel the same way Commissioner Fritz does. I think that we have a lot of problems in our budget, but we did make a commitment in the current year budget to fund a summer youth employment program. And to me, a summer youth employment program is just so, it's a value-driven decision for me. It's consistent with everything that we stand for. These are youth. They don't have parents that help them find jobs. You know, these are kids often, you know, I've talked to them, as recently as yesterday, I was talking to a young kid who I was hoping to find a job for this summer. And it's just critical that we can have the discussion about the fiscal 13-14 year, but we did approve funding for this summer. Summer is almost here. And so I hope we will make a decision no later than mid-March so that we can operationalize this and provide employment opportunities for youth. And I think as the woman from Kaiser Permanente pointed out, if you don't have a job history, you're dooming yourself to a certain cycle of life. And you need that job history. You need that start. You need the exposure. And the city needs people to take the place of those of us who are retiring. We need these young people to be exposed to working for the city, what the city does. So I will work to make sure that we fund this program this summer.
Thank you. Well, again, I want to thank you all for this discussion, and I want to also commit that we as a council and I as the leader of the budget process will not simply run out the clock on this. We only have a few weeks to make whatever preparations we're going to make for this summer, so we won't let this lapse. We won't do this outside of the light of day. We'll do it quickly and publicly, so I want to thank you for bringing this forward in such a helpful way and to remind us what good it does, so thank you. With that, I want to start the formal process, and we have something up front that I think it's going to be good to address right away. So let me call the February 6th meeting of the Portland City Council to order, and we have a proclamation because this is our first council meeting of Black History Month. So before we get to our communications, I'll read the proclamation. Whereas residents of this great region and Portland's honor, strength, and stature can be attributed to the dignity of cultures and traditions that are celebrated by the residents of this great region, and whereas African Americans have played significant roles in the history of Oregon's economic, cultural, spiritual, and political development while working tirelessly to maintain and promote their culture and history, and whereas a result of their determination, hard work, intelligence, and perseverance, African Americans have made valuable and lasting contributions to Portland and the state of Oregon, achieving exceptional success in all aspects of society, including business, education, politics, science, and the arts. And whereas Black History Month is a time for all Americans to remember the stories and teachings of those who helped build our nation, took a stand against prejudice to build lives of dignity and opportunity, advanced the cause of civil rights, and strengthened families and communities. And whereas during Black History Month, all Americans are encouraged to reflect on past successes and challenges of African Americans and look to the future to continue to improve society so that we live up to the ideals of freedom, equality, and justice. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim February 1st to February 28th, 2013, to be Black History Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month. Thank you, and it is so ordered. With that, let's begin with council communications.
And a roll call.
Oh, sorry.
Roll call.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here.
Item 99, request of David G. Gwyther to address council regarding charter change to include two more commissioners.
Gwyther? Here this morning?
Don't see him here.
Okay. We'll have to move on to the next one then.
Item 100, request of Mary Eng to address council regarding FBI whistleblowing, FBI gender equity, Islamophobia, and JTTF intelligence in the USA versus Muhammad Mahmoud era.
Good morning.
Hi, council. I have three deaths to recognize.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Mary Rose Lenore Eng. That's E-N-G. I'd like to recognize three deaths before I begin with this proceeding. Number one, the murder and death, rape and mutilation of Jamie Larson outside PSU. I'd like to recognize the death of public defender Nancy Bergeson, and I would like to recognize the death of Aaron Swartz, information activist who I spoke about last November in the informational on technology. I'm handing you some filings from the incredible office of Sadie and Wax. They were operating in the office of Nancy Bergeson, who was murdered in a cold case. I'm very concerned about the rule of law in America. We're working with USAID across the world to inspire transparency in judicial fairness and a fair trial across the world. And so as I've watched day by day the trial turn into a mockery and a travesty of justice in the case of Mohammed Mohammed, I felt that it was my duty to report back to you upon what I witnessed. There is so much to say on this. I want to let you know that I'm available. I will meet with any of you personally. I could possibly brief you for about 2 hours on my just initial observations. The issue of gender equity, I thought, was extremely important to bring up in light of the fact that there were no women involved in the entrapment of Muhammad. There were also no African Americans involved in the entrapment of Muhammad. One way to look at this beyond the obvious fair trial aspects of Gar King speedlining the jury, throwing out evidence, throwing out witnesses, being rude to Stephen Sadie and Stephen Wax and Lisa Hay, beyond that, why don't we pull back and rewind? Say you're a refugee fleeing war-torn Somalia. Your parents are fleeing murder. They're fleeing all kinds of things we possibly didn't live with in the same extreme war-torn context. And they come to America. Where were we then? When Muhammad was 4 years old, where were we in terms of refugee resources, outreach, adjustment, possibly counseling? Okay, then let's fast forward up to when the FBI got involved. Muhammad's incredibly loving and kind father is calling the FBI saying, I'm worried my son may go back to Somalia and get killed. What did the FBI do? Instead of sitting down and talking with the parents, getting lawyers, getting counseling, getting intervention, the FBI provided a stalking and harassment by an agent provocateur, Bill Smith, who sent messages encouraging violence on American soil, which is absolutely unpatriotic and un-American from the FBI. I want a price tag. I want to get women involved with the FBI. The Islamophobia has to end. We have to pay attention to what's going on in New York City as well with the restraining orders put on FBI. We need to let the Islamic community know how to get restraining orders when they're being stalked by FBI agents who are attacking their juvenile sons. Mary, the juvenile process. Yes, is Mr. Hales, I've got a lot to talk with you about. Know, can we schedule an appointment?
You need to wrap up.
Can we schedule an appointment?
I need to talk to my staff about scheduling an appointment because the council's got a lot on its calendar this morning. So,
I'd like to read into the record 751574, the prisoner number of Muhammad Muhammad, and advise you to pay attention to the upcoming appeals.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, next item, please.
Item 101, request of Richard L. Meyer to address council regarding Mayor Charlie Hale's public housing policy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Richard L. Meyer. Former mayors Tom Potter and Sam Adams established their legacies in support of the discredited and abhorrent public housing policy of targeted, unlimited neighborhood concentration of public housing within a few months of entering office. Mayor Hales has now joined them. Potter and Adams started out supporting equitable distribution of public housing, then abruptly and without explanation turned to a policy of neighborhood ghetto building and economic segregation. Mayor Hales skipped phase one and immediately embraced targeted unlimited neighborhood concentration of public housing as his policy preference. Mayor Hales has joined his predecessors in locking the public housing statistical data vault at the Housing Bureau and the Public Housing Authority of Multnomah County, organizations over which he has complete statutory authority, control, and responsibility. Mayor Hales, like Potter and Adams, knows that keeping accurate, complete, and timely public housing statistical data from other elected officials, candidates for public office, and citizens makes it impossible for them to challenge Hales with a fact-based, reasoned public conversation and debate. Mayor Hales refused to acknowledge that Sam Adams prevented the subject of public housing from being included in the Portland plan, certifies Hales' indefensible denial that public housing exists in Portland. Mayor Hales has already demonstrated that despite his singular statutory role in determining the public housing policy in Multnomah County and, by extension, the entire Portland metropolitan region, he does not know the definitions or the differences among public housing, modified public housing, affordable housing, market rate housing, and workforce housing. Mayor Hale's catch-all use of the term affordable housing to simultaneously mean public housing, modified public housing, affordable housing, market rate housing, and workforce housing continues Potter's and Adams's successful effort to misdirect the press and the public in order to avoid an uncomfortable accounting of his housing policy and spending decisions. Now that Mayor Hales has, to his credit, effectively changed the form of our city government to strong mayor, the four city commissioners are at liberty to bring before this body a vote in support of equitable distribution of public housing as the city's moral and defensible public housing policy. Without any bureaus to protect, the job of city commissioner is now to establish, change, and challenge public policy for any and all bureaus. Mayor Hales has already failed the public housing policy test. Now it's your turn to be counted on public housing policy. Without "you don't mess with my bureaus, I won't mess with yours" excuses. I'll be back in the near future to tell you and your constituents how you've done. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Next item, please.
Item 102, request of Karen Hansen to address council regarding Black History Month proclamation.
Ah, good morning. I jumped the gun on you. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Karen Hansen. I work for the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I've worked with the Black History Month Committee for 7 years. Our program has evolved a great deal over that period of time. We started with a display of African art and a reading list. We built to concerts, film series, and then to Youth Day, which involves the coordination of several state universities, local high schools, and employee volunteers who have been willing to provide job shadowing opportunities for visiting students. Each year, we've ended the month of activities with a very popular soul food event called Taste of Soul. It occurs simultaneously with a marketplace that showcases local vendors of African-American art, jewelry, books, and other wares. A few years ago, we started bringing our events out into the community. The Water Bureau sponsored an event focusing on our lost Black neighborhoods. Most people are familiar with Vanport, but not everybody knows about God's Lake Courts or about Fairview Homes. If you listen to stories told by elders in our local Black churches, you come to realize that their childhood homes don't exist anymore. The Lost Black Neighborhoods event was well attended, and it continues to be requested in a variety of relevant settings. I personally feel that the most significant evolution of our program has been our focus on local history and our sponsorship of events that honor the contribution of local artists and musicians. 2 years ago, Renee worked with the mayor's office to organize an event celebrating jazz on Williams Avenue. We were honored by guests Sweet Baby James, Bobby Bradford, Esperanza Spalding, who had just won her Grammy. The next year, we showcased Thera Memory as the jazz master of the Portland Jazz Festival, performing a preview of his jazz orchestra presentation called Artfully Miles. This year, our community is grieving the loss of a great human being, Oboe Adi. Oboe was a master drummer, a composer, a teacher, and much, much more to our community. Members of the Black History Month Committee decided to honor Oboe's legacy during the 2013 Black History Month celebration. So our events include a tribute concert featuring his group Okrapong here at the Portland Building in the second floor auditorium next Wednesday at lunch. Also, a community art show that Renee is organizing on Tuesday, February 26th, at Emmanuel Temple Church at 5:30 p.m. We'd like to thank the Bureau of Environmental Services, the Office of Equity, the Bureau of Transportation, and Human Resources for their support of these events. I'd also like to take a moment to thank all of you for the painstaking work that you're engaging in regarding the city's budget discussion. Our committee went through an abbreviated version of that discussion. I think we're operating on about 50% of our normal budget for this year's program, and that shows in a reduced number of activities. We did have to cancel Youth Day this year, or at least postpone it. Our discussions were not free from conflict. At a particular moment in the discussion, I realized one very important fact, and that is that almost everyone engaged in these discussions had come out of their own pockets to support these events at one time or another. So we were not discussing someone else's budget, and we were not discussing someone else's program. You know, we were direct stakeholders in a variety of ways. Specifically, I suspected every one of us...
You're gonna wrap up soon. Sorry, keep going.
Every one of us just realizes the broader challenges that the city faces economically will only be solved if all available resources are called to the task. Those resources include the diversity of our communities and the wisdom that comes from such diverse perspectives, and that wisdom can only be leveraged effectively out of right relationship, and the development of that relationship depends on a shared understanding of accurate history. With that, I'm going to turn this over to my friend Renee Mitchell, who served on our committee, is a significant force in the community, to tell you a little bit about the art show event.
Thank you. Renee.
Welcome. Well, good morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here, Mayor and City Council, as well as city staff and community. I wanted to personally invite all of you to the community art show, which is titled Creating Community Artfully, where we are honoring Obo Adi, but also just making sure that we recognize our past artists who have invested beauty into this community, our current artists, as well as our future artists, which are the young people. So I'm so grateful to have the city's support in that effort, and with that, I'd like to share Art from My Heart with a short poem. Let her be born with intention and handled tenderly, gratefully. Let her emerge from the depths where shameful secrets have burrowed so deeply into your bosom that you almost forget they even exist. Let her speak to me through you so that I might reclaim myself and know that I am understood. Let her emerge. She is waiting for your invitation, a spiritual summons which can only travail when you embrace the love, the tragedies, the emotional depth that makes us human. She is a mosaic thread connecting us all in ways we cannot even comprehend. She is already whole, stretched out wide within you, poking at your consciousness, hoping you would notice. She is the completion of your H-E-A-R-T. She is art. Let her be born. So I hope that you attend and encourage all others to attend our community art show, which is a bridge between City Hall and community. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. Yeah, these community activities make this proclamation a lot more than a piece of paper. So thank you so much for the work you've done to put these together for all of us. Thanks. All right, Carla, next one, please.
That was the last
one. Oh, sorry, it was. All right. Let's move to the consent calendar. I believe we have one request, because it was from me, to postpone an item. Item number 106 to be returned to my office so that additional members of the council will have an opportunity to meet with Mr. Versu.
Can I read the title?
Yes, please.
106, appoint John Versu to the Human Rights Commission, term to expire October 31, 2013.
So no objections. We'll turn that one to my office. I believe that's the only request. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we'll take a roll call on the remainder of the consent calendar.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Time certain.
Item 104. Accept the 2012 redevelopment and phasing plan for Willamette Park as a guide for future development of the park.
although we just have recently transferred all the bureaus to my office, there's a guy who's been Parks Commissioner for a while who might have a comment or two about this before we bring up Mr. Abate.
I'm still grieving, Your Honor. Thank you, Mayor. I actually have not been involved in the preparation of bringing this to council. I will say that a ton of work has been done on Willamette Park and the Werben property, and you're going to get our A team from the Parks Bureau today presenting them. The Willamette Park, as my colleagues will remember, design was born of a request by the Water Bureau to put a pump station in the park, which led to a community process. And for the privilege of having a pump station, there was a fair compensation agreed to, which is in turn allowing a master planning process to go forward and ultimately an updated vision for Willamette Park, which is very compelling. We don't have the resources to do it, but that may or may not be a priority item in a future bond measure. As to Werben, the Werben property, this is a shining example of the Parks Bureau identifying opportunities in underserved areas to make investments now. Just as we talked about E-205 last week, this is another example in the Cully Concordia area of where we've been able to use creatively the tool of systems development charge money to acquire and do a master planning process and once again work with tremendous partners in the community that you're going to hear from today, including Kathy and other members of the Neighborhood Association and folks that are involved in our work. Again, this is one that because of cobbling together systems development charge money and other sources, we will be able to move on regardless of the fate of a bond measure. And I just want to say publicly how proud I am of the planners, of the leadership, and of our community partners. This is something Parks does very well, developing these master plans. I personally think we have too many of them sitting on a shelf, which is why I think we ultimately have to go to the voters and ask for some additional resources. But this is something they do great, and Mayor, it's I hope you have as much satisfaction as I have had in leading this Bureau, and I know as a former Parks Commissioner, you are a champion for their work. So I have to say they could not be in better hands. So I'll kick it back to you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Abate, have you got a presentation for us on these two items? Thank you for being here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and members of council. Mike Abate, Parks Director. In 1985, a young strapping landscape architect arrived in Portland, Oregon, and one of the very first projects he was handed as a member of a consultant firm in town was a master plan for Willamette Park. That was for Commissioner Lindbergh at the time. And as I began my career and studied that park, I realized that Willamette Park for the Portland Parks Bureau is probably our ultimate Rubik's Cube. It has more activities, events, demands on it per acre probably than any other park that we have in our system. So I am thrilled to be able to greet you this morning and provide this opportunity to share with you the most comprehensive master plan for this complicated park that's ever been done. One of the keys of the success I think you'll see today is the fact that this is a very interdisciplinary effort involving three bureaus: Parks, Water, and Environmental Services. I'd like to thank Director David Schaff, Director Dean Marriott, and their staff for supporting a very holistic and integrated way of looking at this park. And so as a result of this work, there's going to be clear and long-term guidance for both the near-term and the long-term at Willamette Park. And again, Bureau of Environmental Services has really committed to making future investments in the park that are going to benefit salmon and benefit our park users as well. So at this point, I'd like to introduce Emily Roth from the Parks Bureau, who led the planning effort, and then Paul Ketchum from Bureau of Environmental Services.
Good morning, Mayor Harrell, and City Commissioners. As Mike said, I'm Emily Roth.
Oh, push the red button there. There you go.
Good morning, Mayor Harrell, City Commissioners. As Mike just introduced me, I'm Emily Roth. I'm a senior planner and the project manager for the Willamette Park Redevelopment and Phasing Plan. Again, this was an interdisciplinary planning process with Portland Parks and the Bureau of Environmental Services, a first for our two bureaus. I'd like to acknowledge the staff from both parks, especially Alan Schmidt, who is here, who assisted me throughout the project. He is also the park planner for the new pump station that's going into the park. The Bureau of Environmental Services, we also worked with the Regional Arts and Culture Council and the citizens of our project advisory committee that are here today to speak. I will be presenting today, and then following me will be Paul Ketchum, and then two members from our project advisory committee, Bernadette Lee and Jim Gorder, who will also speak at the end. Let's see. Okay. Nope. Sorry. There we go. The planning process was much different than what has happened for our other parks. Willamette Park is a fully developed park, 27 acres, a gem in our system. There are active fields, a very large motorized boat ramp, tennis courts, playgrounds, and many other activities there. It is located in southwest Portland, just east of McAdam Avenue. And as shown in the slide, we showed both our half a mile and our quarter mile distance from the park that brings a large community to this very sunny, open area. There were three main projects that drove this planning process. The first are the habitat improvements, which you'll see in the corner, along the Willamette River for salmon. The Bureau of Environmental Services watershed plan for this area identified restoring the bank in the park as a priority project for improving habitat for salmon. Secondly, as you mentioned, it's the new water, it's the relocation of the Fulton Pump Station into Willamette Park. So the Water Bureau is doing many improvements to the park as part of their land use, and also Parks was given approximately $650,000 to pay for other improvements, which was the value of the park land that will now be for another purpose. And one of our main goals in this plan was how best to use this money for improvements to the park. The other one that we always have to consider that maybe we haven't thought about as much is the opening of the Selwood Bridge in 2016. With the construction of the Selwood Bridge, we are also building a new regional trail that will go from the Selwood Bridge all the way to Willamette Park. It is anticipated that in 2016, when the bridge opens, we will have 2,000 new cyclists, commuting cyclists, that will come across the bridge and through Willamette Park. And then by 2035, they estimate we will have 10,000 new commuters each day that will be using this regional trail that comes through the park. We need to be prepared. That was a driving. And another thing that I'll just mention here, it wasn't one of the drivers, but many of you have remembered, that we used to have a beautiful piece of art called the Story Garden that was located in Willamette Park. It's a interactive piece of art. And it was taken out for the Big Pipe Project, and it has been in storage for many years. And we and RAC have been looking for a place to put it back. And so we looked at this planning opportunity as a chance to put the Story Garden back into our park system. There were five main steps. We had community engagement. We had five project advisory committees, one open house at the park. We also had an online survey for 2 weeks after the open house to gather community comments for the recommended plan. I want to say the plan that you're seeing today reached, the project advisory committee reached consensus on moving this plan forward. We did a full site analysis. We reviewed all aspects, including zoning, views, and even solar exposure, which is so important here in Portland in the summer. We did a final redevelopment plan that started with three concepts, and at the final PAC reached consensus on the recommended redevelopment plan that we will review today. Also, you will see the phasing plan. How do we make all these improvements in the park efficiently so we do not duplicate efforts? And finally, I'll just highlight a few of the design elements that we'll see. So, of course, in parks and everywhere in the city of Portland, community engagement is very, very important, and we had three phases that went with this project. We broadly invited stakeholders to participate in the advisory committee, and we appointed a committee. The director and Commissioner Fish appointed a committee of 14 members that we worked with throughout. We did research and educated the committee and staff and the community about community needs, opportunities, site constraints. And then we developed what we consider and designed a balanced environmental recreation and neighborhood needs. So we are trying to reach a balance between the environment, neighborhood needs, and how we make this the best place, a gem of Portland. And this is what we came up with, our final plan. So I was amiss in my introduction, so there's one more group I would like to introduce. We worked with the consultant firm Walker Macy, a local landscape architect firm. Our project manager, Ken Perry, is sitting here with us, and also with Berger ABAM, who facilitated the process. So our three options culminated in this final plan. What we really did was worked around the edges, except for moving the dog off-leash area to the northern part of the park. We redid the circulation pattern, separating commuters from recreational users to reduce users' conflict that we have experienced on all our other trails. This is still a park. We want to make sure our recreation users enjoy it. We're going to lay back the bank to improve salmon habitat, reprogramming about 1 acre of passive open space. Included in this, we'll be adding trees and shrubs along the shoreline. We're adding a trail to the water and a non-motorized boat launch. And finally, we did find a home for the Story Garden. This is what the park will look like. Just a few details. In the northern part, we are going to build a nice new overlook that hasn't been in the park. You'll be able to stand there and see Ross Island and the whole city. We'll be redoing the whole entrance area. The dog off-leash area is going to be moved from this area that now collects storm water and very soggy to a beautiful fenced dog off use area that will get a lot of use for this region in the community. We will turn the road into a shared bike path for commuters to make it through the park at a moderate speed, nothing too quick, we hope, to slow them down. And we will be working with the Bureau of Environmental Services for oak habitat restoration. The other big thing here is down in the corner is a non-motorized boat launch. Again, separating users to reduce conflict with the motorized boat launch, the largest in the city. In the southern end of the park, again, this is where our new pump station will be for the city. Very important. Here is where all the commuters will be entering the park from the Selwood Bridge. Commuter traffic will go to the west and then onto the road. We are going to encourage all recreation users to have a nice view along the river with a new playground area. We'll have a new Story Garden facility where you can have great interactive play with art, which we pride our city in. We'll be improving the Greenway Trail, and also for once in our park system, we'll have a designated path to the river for users. We're also going to put in a nice picnic area to help increase the field opportunities. Excuse me. So this is what the park will look like. It will have a nice laid-back bank. We will maintain our beautiful views of the river and our city as required under our zoning, and we'll still be providing the recreation opportunities. Paul will talk more on the riverbank. Finally, how is this all going to happen? Well, the spring of 2016 is really our big date because that's when the Selwood Bridge is going to open. And so we have to be prepared for all the commuters that are coming through. And so we've identified improving our entrance and our trail circulation, moving the play area as our highest priorities. The pump station is going to start this spring, 2013, with their improvements. Oak habitat improvements, hopefully in 2014. And then the riverbank improvements will be funded by BES starting in, well, in their CIP plan starting in 2015. And where does all this money come from to do this? Well, luckily, we do have some pot of money. The PAC and our staff have identified the highest priorities, just as we said, as the circulation, the trails and roadways, improved entries at Miles Place, and the central overlook and site furnishing. We have our water, we have funding sources from the Water Bureau, approximately $605,000, which would cover the highest priorities. The Bureau of Environmental Services is putting in a CIP request towards the bank layback and associated greenway improvements. They also contributed $50,000 towards the planning effort. We do have some unfunded elements, which is approximately $1.5 million. Just to highlight a few, this is what the story garden will look like in the park, some oak habitat restoration, a new overview. This is what the new pump station is going to look like. We'll have a little launch for some good stand-up boating. It will just be another, it's already a gem in our system, and we're looking forward to just making it, to continue its use in the city of Portland as a destination park. So before we have any questions, I would just like to hear from Paul Ketchum from the Bureau of Environmental Services, Willamette Watershed Manager, and our PAC members, Bernadette Lee, who was with Portland State University Masters of Urban Regional Planning, who's kicked off this whole process 2 years ago. And then Jim Porter will also come up, who is with the City Club and was also a PAC member.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
Yes, you're on.
Okay. Thank you, Emily. My name is Paul Ketchum. I'm with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I'm the Willamette Watershed Manager and the Watershed Services Group. We are very pleased to be here today to fully support the Council's endorsement of the Willamette Park Phasing and Development Plan. We'd like to thank Parks and the Water Bureau and for the opportunity to partner with them, and also the citizens and the groups who helped make this plan a reality. I'd like to make a couple of points about the plan. First, it does an excellent job of integrating ecological and recreational objectives in meeting the goals of the Portland Watershed Management Plan, which the Council adopted in 2006. Natural areas in Willamette Park, and it is a hybrid park, so there are natural areas in the park, are important contributors to watershed health and are reminders of the rich natural heritage of this city. Some examples are the beach and the riverbank, the wetlands, and important white oak woodlands. The proposed bank layback sponsored by BES and endorsed by Park will restore a more natural riverbank and will enhance fish and wildlife habitat along 1,300 linear feet, which is about half the frontage of the park. And this will improve river health and park conditions. Second, the park capitalizes on opportunities to manage stormwater and improve water quality in the Willamette River. Emily already pointed out that the DOLA will be moved, the dog off-leash area will be moved to a new location, affording our Bureau the opportunity to work with Parks to improve stormwater management in the area currently occupied by some of the oldest oak trees in that part of the city. The third, the city is committed to aiding in the recovery of salmon species listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act, and that includes the coho, the chinook, and the steelhead. In providing for restoration and other stormwater improvements in this park, this plan is honoring that commitment. And I just want to point out that the river that the river is more than a migration corridor for salmon, and we have evidence that it's been used by juvenile salmon for resting and feeding, and they actually grow and enlarge in the river through Portland. So it's very important to restore habitat conditions. Fourth, the bank layback and other natural area investments will improve recreational experience for Willamette Park users, and park facilities that are impacted by the restoration work will be replaced and enhanced, and that includes the Greenway Trail that currently goes along the top of the bank there. Fifth, but not least, the strong working partnership between Parks and BES and ongoing efforts to foster community involvement is what makes this park plan before you today possible. And by continuing to work together, we can make habitat improvements at a public location, which serves a broad spectrum of park users in the city and in the region. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Bernadette Lee, and I represented the regional users on the advisory committee. So I first want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about my involvement and support for the Willamette Park Redevelopment Plan. I first became involved in work at Willamette Park